everybody. Welcome back to the Android App Addicts Podcast, episode 479. This is the show where we talk about Android apps, Android hardware, Nintendo Switch, and other such fun stuff. And I am your host, Mark, the Sultan of the Soapbox Cockerel, flanking the real experts behind the show, your friends and mine, door-to-door geek Steve McGaughan and Eric, the executive, the great one, the exalted Poobah Ardini. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. Exalted Poobah. That's a different one.
I got to keep it fresh.
I'll take it, though. I mean, yeah. Is it Flintstone-ish?
Yes.
Is that where Grand I'm Poobah. Picking up? Little Flintstone? Grand Poobah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm...
Fred was in the Water Buffalo Lodge.
I said somebody recently to my... Just in general, I wasn't talking to anybody in particular. I said, he kind of looks like Bam Bam. My kid said, who? It was a parenting fail.
Yeah, well, I bet my kids would be the same way, though. I bet.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure my kids would just laugh it off and like, yeah. And then not say anything else.
Dad said something weird.
What was
again.
That? What's new about that? Yeah. You know, it's my solemn duty as a father to be quirky and offbeat and to embarrass my children whenever possible. And I take that role seriously.
Oh, you should. I mean, it's written in stone. It's your duty. And I like saying the word duty.
I think those stones are in Georgia somewhere, aren't they?
I don't know. They're rolling around somewhere.
I taught my kids about the Roger Ramjet cartoon. That's about the only cartoon I introduced. Well, South Park. I did introduce them to that.
We've been cruising through the oldies. Parenting on Netflix. Fails. Andy Griffith Show, Mayberry, RFD, Highway to Heaven. All the old cheesy stuff. Dick Van Dyke Show. They don't like it. But
you
I
like
make
watching
watch
that?
It. Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't put my kids. I can't. I don't like watching that.
Well, I got good news for you, Mark. If you go to hellovictv.com, you can get a free 90-day trial when the network starts. It's going to be a on-demand streaming service where it's going to be nothing more than variety, interview, and comedy shows stretching from the 1950s to 1990. Nice. AKA gold.
One of our in-between stations, you know, the digital stations, it's, you know, 5.1, 5.3. One of those does old, like Tonight Show, and it's all talk shows, but the old, like 60s and 70s version of it, where you see Elvis clearly plastered out of his mind, trying to sit still long enough to give an interview. That stuff is fun. You guys know me, I'm a media fanatic. I don't just watch movies. I examine movies. It's an experience for me. So the reason we're watching those old things is I'm introducing them to the transition between, you know, vaudeville and television and, you know, Dick Van Dyke and those things. They were in that time when we didn't know what to do, you know, like early radio or early television was just radio shows on camera. And then they turned to being like vaudeville shows on camera. They didn't figure out what, and they finally hit their stride. And I'm telling them, you're in this transition now, where YouTube is trying to be television. They don't know how to be something new yet. Yep. And so I want them to see the echoes of history. History doesn't repeat itself, but it does echo. So anyway, nothing is ever just a fun moment at my house. It all turns into a lesson. And every now and then one of my kids will just roll their eyes and say, Dad, can't we just enjoy this? Do we really need a lesson about the physics of the fireworks? Can't we just watch them explode?
Well, and of course, I would say, can't they do both?
But you'll enjoy it so much better if you understand it.
So are the fail videos on YouTube of people hurting themselves on a bicycle just a throwback to vaudeville?
Well, it's
then?
America's Funniest Home Video.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then if you take it back further, it's just drunk people in bar encouraging like somebody else to try something stupid.
Yeah.
You know.
Everything tries to be something else until it figures out what to be. You know, even this podcast that we're doing, we're emulating radio shows in so many ways, because we haven't yet figured out what we want to be as a medium.
Yes, and every week there is changes, but most of the time they're so subtle, people don't even recognize them unless you actually have the audacity to go back 100 episodes, and I don't encourage anybody to ever. And then and then go back another 100 episodes, and then go back another 100 episodes, and then go back another 100 episodes, because there's almost 500.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow, yeah, now you've got me intrigued. I may want to do that just to hear it.
Every now and then I go back and listen to my old stuff from like 2005, and then I realize I mean, 2010. I wasn't doing this in 2005. And realized I've gotten a lot better, and B, I've still got a long way to go.
Yeah, the only constant is change. That's one of the things I keep insisting to my children.
Well, there is one constant. I still have a face for radio. Yes.
Before we go into the hardware or anything, I want to read an email from Ken in Houston. He sent this last week. I was unable to be on the show last week. Did you guys even do a show last week or no? You didn't?
Yeah. No, I had to drive to Chicago. Actually, I had to visit a Micro Center and a Trader Joe's.
I was ill to the point of being non-functional most of last week. So I was glad that I didn't miss the opportunity to read and respond to this email. This comes from Ken in Houston. He says, "Dear Dor, Eric, and Cockrell and Podnuts family, as the waters in my area start to fade, I'm remembering there's life outside of Houston. I enjoy your podcast and have several apps and hours of knowledge from listening to you all. Seems fitting that I'm thinking of you sitting in a bar, as it's ironically called Underdogs, one of the few places open in my area. There are lines at the grocery stores and Walmart now in areas that did not flood. Words can't express the devastation Houston has seen. It's amazing I've not heard about looting, yay to Houstonians. Thank God I've been spared the flooding and power outages, but the first time today is the first time other than family and work calling that I've thought of the outside world. Thought I would share some pics from my old S6. Sorry, Dor, it's a Samsung camera, and I don't know if you're going to put those links up, Dor, if interested. I'm going to start a GoFundMe soon so I can help people directly. If interested, I'll send details. Well, the glass is almost empty, and I really want some food I did not cook. Battery 82%, life 100%, and dry. Ken. So sorry if I got the names wrong. I've been listening for years, and you'd think I'd remember the Sultan of the Soapbox, but you're newish. I think it was your first giveaway. Heck, I don't even remember the phone. I need you, Dor. Old. Hope not. Ken, I wept as I read this, honestly, and I don't feel unmanly in saying that. To know that in the slightest way, I gave you some enjoyment, some escape from the watery hell that is Houston is humbling and profound, and thank you for sending this email.
I got to say, Mark, I felt the same way. I replied back to him, I think, and I felt I was moved, and it was very nice of him to send that email, and I hope everything's good for him and his neighbors and his family.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I couldn't even finish reading the email once. I tried, and I couldn't. It's impossible. The number one thing I want everyone to remember is we're all humans. Everybody on this network is a human. Every listener is a human. We are all equals. If we can distract Ken while enjoying his frosty beverage, hopefully it's frosty beverage, for even 30 seconds and just make him do a little smirk just once, I'm fine. I don't need anything else again, ever. I'll say this, Ken, I personally believe in supporting people as much as possible, not organizations. Please let us know people who need support. And I can tell you, I will do everything in my power to help them as much as I possibly can and help spread the word as much as I possibly can. I don't like hearing the fringe niche horror stories of organizations not being able to fulfill their obligations, their societal obligations to help people. I love it when I can help people directly and I know people that I'm helping are actually helping those other people again, kind of thing. I believe you were the first one, and I want to say it might have been a Samsung Galaxy Nexus, possibly, was the giveaway.
Maybe.
Is what's coming to mind. It was so long ago. Ken, you have no idea how bad I want to come down to Texas, buy you a steak, because if you're in Texas, you have to have a big, monstrous steak and a frosty beverage and just help you guys out.
I am from Texas, North Texas, not the Houston area, but I have friends and loved ones in that area. Some have not seen their homes in 2 weeks. Some have been chased out of their homes and are unable to get back. It's a terrible thing. As Hurricane Irma blew through Puerto Rico just yesterday, I have a coworker who has family there. She hasn't heard from them in a few days because there's no communication. Hurricane's bearing down now on Florida. Friends of mine are running from Florida. And as I say these things, I talk about friends and coworkers. I realize that a lot of these people I met through sitting behind this microphone doing a podcast. It's more than just banter its connections. I never lose sight of the fact that I have this intimate relationship. I'm literally inside your head, in your headphones, in a way that nobody else or few other people ever are. I'm powerless in Georgia. There's nothing I can do to help. And even if I were in Texas, there's probably not much I could do. I don't have a boat. I don't have rescue skills. But I like to think that in some way I'm connected to those people there. My heart is with you. My prayers are with you. Those who pray know that I am in prayer daily for those who are suffering. This is unprecedented in recorded history. Again, in spite of all of that Ken would take the time to send us an email is humbling in a way that I can't even express. So thanks, Ken. Thank you. Seriously.
Yeah, and to other listeners in other places, whether you're in New York, France, Australia, whatever, the only people I want to communicate with are the people who, let's just say, like right now, pre-ordered a Note 8 or something like that. I'd ask you to please kindly cancel that pre-order. Buy a normal phone. Take the difference and put it towards somebody that needs it. I'm not saying to people in Houston. If you're in France, there are people local who need help and need support. If you're in New York, there are people walking the streets every day that have no one there to help them. Help them. And what I hate saying is one of the truths, I think, in human nature. When disaster strikes, everybody becomes a socialist. And I am right now, unbelievably, mentally a socialist. I feel like it's my obligation as a citizen of this country to do everything in my power to make sure my government and my personal finances are going towards people who right now are in dire need of it, because there are people all over the world that need help. Try to look out for other people. I always try to say support those who support you. Once in a while, support random people too. It will change somebody's life, is what I will say. There will be a link in the notes with a Google Doc listing that Ken gave us of all the local area organizations taking contributions in the notes as well. So I will ask people, you know, if you have a hard time making your own bills, don't make it even harder on yourself. But if you're doing okay, try to help people at least a little bit, please.
I had a friend who went down to Houston this last weekend to help, and what he came back with was something I had never really thought of. When you have been through such a, you know, disastrous thing like that, you want to get back to some sense of normalcy, right? So if you've lost everything and you've been wearing the same clothes for 3 days and they're soaked and covered in mud, you'll take whatever pair of hand-me-downs you can get. But once you get back on your feet even a little bit, it's an important part of human dignity is to be wearing something new and not hand-me-downs. So if you want to make a difference, if you're in the process of gathering clothes to send to a drive or whatever, don't go buy a new shirt. Don't just take that thing that you were going to throw away anyway. It's not an opportunity to take out the trash. It's important to meet these needs with dignity. And when you've lost everything, at least you could have a nice, crisp, clean new shirt. So just something that I saw firsthand, or at least I heard from a person who saw it firsthand. There are warehouses full of old clothes that people weren't taking because, you know, they had gotten over the immediate need, and now they're trying to rebuild their lives, and they don't want to rebuild their lives with somebody else's stained underwear.
Hmm. Yeah.
Thank you, Ken.
On a lighter note, talk to Steve C. today. He's ready for the storm. He really likes this kind of weather, and he's ready to watch it come in Florida.
Yeah, in typical Steve C fashion, he said, "I'm excited for it." he is on the Tampa Bay side, so it's not like he's we're Richard Hughes on the Mini PC show. The most popular trajectory path of the hurricane, it brought the eye of the hurricane, dead center eye, to less than 200 feet from his house.
Oh.
Yeah.
Still early. We won't know the true path. It looks like it's going to bounce off of Cuba. But hopefully we'll come back here next week and saying, you know, it just lost all that energy and died and didn't do anything. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. This is the time where I really hope all methods of science are completely inaccurate.
So now I'll ask the traditional question. Anybody got any new hardware to talk about?
I do.
Right.
I got this piece of hardware in the notes here. So I have a camper, and like it had a problem and I couldn't see nothing because everything's tight. So this is a Vipon AMZ Review Trader type item. I got it for half the price that's listed. So I got it for like $15 or $13, I think. And it's the Zefo Wireless Endoscope Semi-Rigid Flexible Wi-Fi Endoscope. So basically, it's a small camera on a long cord. And instead of plugging that into your phone to see what you see at the end. And I had one of these before, and I never really found a good use for it. And I gave it to somebody at Northwest Linux Fest that we were hanging with. And then I'm like, oh, well, I guess I do need one of those. So for 13 more bucks, I did buy one. But the bad thing is the instructions had a QR code to download an Android app to make it work. And basically, this thing, this little box, makes its own Wi-Fi hotspot. And then you connect a phone to that Wi-Fi hotspot and then use an app to view whatever the end of that camera sees. And it's got like 8 adjustable LEDs at the end of it and all that. But none of the Android camera apps or Wi-Fi endoscope apps worked for it. Luckily, I had an old iPod Touch with a cracked screen that I did download the correct app for, and it worked good off that. I thought maybe the camera was bad and these apps were okay, but when I got it working on the iPhone, then it did. But it's just, unfortunately, China did not put that out there correctly, you know, as far as it working with Android.
I've seen these. This is one of the cheapest ones I've seen. And if you got it for half price, you paid, you know, $15 for it. You know, that's, I don't know that that's something you're going to use a lot, but when you need it, it's worth $15, right?
First off, Eric, I pray you don't use it a lot. And then I'll quote the best movie ever with, I don't think you know what that word means.
Just, do.
I mean, it clearly says endoscope.
Yeah. And it could be used for that, I suppose.
I love the picture on the Amazon site where we're flexible, other brands are soft, and it's literally a floppy, you know, phallic sort of thing there. It's I don't know that they meant to do that, but even if they, I mean, it's semi-rigid. Who doesn't want to be semi-rigid after a certain age? Just saying.
Yeah, and if it gets dark, you can crank up the adjustable light at the end too to really see your way through. You know, now that I'm scrolling down through in this Amazon listing, though, it does say the HDC app. So I did not try that app. Maybe I'll give that another try. I was just using all the ones that they had listed in the instruction manual, and like the Apple QR code went nowhere at all. I don't know. But anyway, they didn't have a MOQO app that worked in the Android store.
Is this you saying mine's not working? Is it compatible with a Google Pixel? Is that you? Did you write that?
No, I don't have a Pixel.
So in a completely unrelated but slightly related note, I just want to give a shout out to Mopar. I have a Dodge Ram pickup truck. It's 2008, so it's 11 years old, and it's gotten to where I had to prop the hood up with a broomstick. You know, the little struts went out. So I called a buddy of mine who works at an auto parts store, and he was like, it's $95. Yeah, it's $95. I'll cut a broomstick off. That's fine. So I went looking and found a third-party replacement part on Amazon, probably straight out of China, for $30. And I wish I had it in front of me, but I wasn't planning to talk about this. Props to 7-year-old Chinese slave girls for making something that is well-engineered and worked perfectly. The only tool I needed was a small flat-headed screwdriver, and pop the old struts off, pop the new ones on, works like a champ. So props to good engineering. If you've ever worked on an old pickup truck, that's a singular experience. For something to work and take 5 minutes doesn't happen very often.
Oh, man, I was working on an old pickup truck doing some trailer brake lighting, routing, and stuff. First of all, at least you're on the right side of the truck. If you're underneath an old pickup truck, it's constantly rust. Yes. And dirt falling into your eyes. And that's no fun. It took me 2 days to hook up those trailer lights and stop blowing fuses. And I had it hooked up, but then it would blow a fuse every time I hit the brake light or hit the brake pedal. So once we got past that, we're okay. But man, I probably still have chunks of crap in my eyes.
One of my first cars in high school was a 67 Chevy C10 half-ton pickup truck. It was the old 3-speed on the column transmission, one of the worst design linkages ever. Periodically it would break, and I'd have to crawl under it with a paper clip or a hairpin or something to repair the linkage, because I couldn't afford the the 69 cent part at the hardware store that actually fixes it. But yeah, I know all about crawling under rusty old trucks from that. It got me through high school, and literally the day I pulled into the parking lot at college, the water pump fell off of it. I'm not being hyperbolic there. Literally fell off of it in the parking lot. So, yeah.
If you ever get there again, as unfortunate as that may sound, but actually to have that truck now is pretty cool. I'd love to have that
to get back, but yeah.
Maybe use a little heavier gauge, like maybe some baling wire rather than a paper clip. Or
I had to use what I had.
It might last longer.
It was baby green was the original color, but you know it was 30 years old nearly, and it was faded and nasty. I can't even. It's like pea soup. You wouldn't want to eat green. Not that anybody would ever want to eat pea soup. And I had painted on the back of it Greenpeace, P-I-E-C-E, as in a green piece of junk. That was the name of my truck. The
nice.
So we're not actually going to hold the show hostage until you give us money this week.
Not Greenpeace, like G-R-E-E-M-P-E-A-S.
No, it was G-R-E-E-N-P-I-E-C-E.
Right. Like a P-O-S. I don't have a hardware, but I do want to just show one thing here. It's a book, Ubuntu Mate, a guide for computer users upgrading from Windows OS X, from Windows or OS X, by Larry Bushy, host of the Going Linux podcast. This book is available on Amazon. Two people this week sent me an email. I don't care what you say in the email. I will reapply, ask for your address, and I'll send you a copy of this book. I want to help promote his book because he is a really nice guy who does a really nice podcast and who helps everybody emphatically. One of the most normal podcasting hosts outside of Podnuts is the nicest words I can say about him. So support those who support you. More than once in the past, I emailed Larry a question that I knew he would know the answer to, and in no time at all, I got a thorough reapply with the exact answer that I needed. So I want
just
to support
the
him
book.
Back.
Just, really good just support Larry. I just bought it. Thank you, Dor.
Good man. Thank you very much. And I will say we do have plenty of apps. Yeah, we're not going to hold the show hostage.
But it works.
Right now.
When people ask me, why do I keep getting spam? I always tell them the reason you get spam today is because somebody bought from it yesterday. And it worked. You people donated when we held the show hostage. Don't make us do it again. It's on you now. That's all I'm going to say. So, Eric, Dor, bring us our first app, please.
Okay, first app. Let me hit tab a couple times on my thing. Oh, well, this is an easy. This is a gimme app that basically has to come to the show. Because we've been looking for this. We, the greater public at large, have been looking for this app for a very long time. And now it's finally real and available. Amazon Prime Video. Previously, to watch on Android tablets, you had to do workarounds. You had to use Firefox. You had to use FlashFox. You had to do this trick. You had to do that trick. You then had to go to Amazon, give them your phone number, download an APK, and all this other kind of stuff. They finally broke down, and either I don't even know if Google allowed them to do it because it doesn't take any money, so it shouldn't have been an issue for that. But either way, now on Google Play, you can download the official Amazon Prime Video Android app and watch all of your Grand Tour or whatever other shows are on Amazon to your heart's content.
So much better way to browse the selection of Amazon Video than on a Roku or on, you know, this is my preferred method to just look at the entire library quickly, you know. Because I don't even know what's on Amazon. Every now and then I'll go on and I'm like, oh, there's an Amazon Video. We can see what's new on there. And then, I don't know. I can't wait. I haven't tried this yet, but
I just want to say in the Google Play posting there, the center image of the first image is a picture of me with my name under it. So that's pretty cool. I didn't know that was out there.
Oh, that is you.
But, of course, this was before you let your beard
grow. It was in my younger days. But it's an early adult film. No, it's not.
Yeah.
You have to go there to see it.
The only thing I don't know is if this can be Chromecast. I'm going to guess not. But I will also say it does say you can also stream content from HBO, Showtime, and Stars inside the U.S. at least. So if you weren't aware of all the content you have available to yourself on Amazon Prime Video, I encourage you once in a while just go and take a look at it. You might find stuff you didn't know was there.
So I was on Amazon the other day, and I was gonna watch the movie Snatched. Have you guys seen that?
I have not.
It's got Amy Schumer and Goldie Hawn, and they go on vacation together somewhere. So yeah, it seemed dumb in the previews. One of my friends recommended it to me, said it was really funny. So I go on Amazon, and it gets like a rating of 2 stars, and it's $5 to rent. So I'm like, you know what? Well, I ended up watching a movie and a half of Amazon other movies that were in the comedy section that were chick flicks that weren't even funny at all, that were like rated 5 stars. I'm like, man, you know what? I'm just going to go with my friend's recommendations and not Amazon's recommendations as far as star ratings, because these ones I would never, neither of them would I have rated over 2 stars. So don't judge movies by their rating star numbers. That's probably about as accurate as their products sometimes, maybe.
Unless it's an Amy Schumer movie, I'm pretty sure you can probably trust that.
That what? Because it's going to be 2-star?
That it's going to suck horribly.
Everybody's down on Amy Schumer so much, man.
Because she's not funny and she's a comedian.
Well, you guys...
I found her funny.
Yeah, I don't even... Yeah. Once, while you guys were talking, I have the Amazon Prime app on my phone. I've had it for a while. I am not able to Chromecast it. So there you go.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of.
And by the way, tonight is opening night of the NFL, and I'm here with you guys. That shows how much
really?
I love
who's
you guys. Now, it's not my beloved Cowboys NFL. Playing, but still, it's the first game of the season, and I'm here podcasting. So,
well okay, Mark.
Sports.
First off, the number one running back isn't playing, so you're not going to be able to see that anyway. Two, who are they playing?
Well, it's not the Cowboys. Who's playing? It's Patriots and Chiefs is who's playing tonight.
Oh, well, yeah. My God, that's all. Who wouldn't want to watch that game anyway? It's horrible.
You know.
It's going to be ugly. I mean, the Chiefs, they haven't been good since Len Dawson, okay? Christian Okoye gave them a spark of hope. Derek Thomas gave them a spark of hope, but they suck. Sorry, Chiefs fans.
I enjoy the game of football. I will watch any two teams play because I love the game. So,
I hope it's not part of your lifeblood because it will be ending soon.
What will? The sport football. Of football?
Oh, yeah. All the head trauma injuries, it has no choice.
It'll just be robots in 30 years.
I do enjoy the high school games. I like going our local high school. I'm volunteer for the chain gang, so I'm right there on the sideline in front of the coaches and in front of the people who are actually
it's
playing.
A dangerous
the game.
Position too.
It is. You gotta be ready and learn to bail. But it's a good seat. You're right at the yard at where they're hiking the ball every play, well, mostly or very close to it. And I enjoy it. It's fun. I couldn't imagine doing it with people who are 2 or 3 times the size of these high schoolers doing it, but that'd be a little more intense, but I don't mind it. I don't know any of those players that you just said, Dor, so you really know your stuff. I would think that you would be a New England fan, seeing how you live in New England area, right? Aren't you on the East Coast?
Oh, my God.
Or are you a Ravens fan? Are you a Raven?
I don't like the Baltimore Browns. Let's get that right.
I like the Cleveland Browns.
Then you like, I'm sorry, Cleveland Brown fans, perennial losers.
I like
they've never been to a Super Bowl.
I think I've brought this up before. I like any football team that the team starts with the letter B and the city starts with the letter C. That's how I do football.
Ew.
Yeah. So I got the Cleveland Browns and the Chicago
and the Cincinnati
Bears and the Cincinnati Bengals and the Chicago Bears. Those are my teams, and they all have orange in their deal. So that's it too.
Well, I'll say at least the Bears had Peyton, Singletary, you know, some genuine talent on them.
Okay, let me move us on along and say, Eric, what is your app that you'd like to bring tonight?
Well, this app doesn't have anything to do really with our last podcast episode, but this is called River Stats, and it talks and it lets you measure flow. But this is flows of stream and river data. And this actually comes from the most recent MRP podcast that I was listening to, where he could not find an Android version of it. But he did have an iPhone version that he recommended. So this is my recommendation for people who live close to rivers and are interested in finding out how close or how many gallons are flowing and how high the river is or going to be. And it gives you up to date river flow and stream data from water bodies in the United States. And it uses your GPS to tell you which bodies of water are closest to you and things like that. I tried it out. It gave me 5 different sampling points on the river that is just a stone's throw from my house.
So is it, I mean, I'm going to guess it's intelligent guesstimations? Or
no,
it,
there's meters out in the bodies of water that measure these. Meters in most rivers now. It's like Army Corps of Engineers kind of projects put them in there.
Right. Yeah, I was literally listening to a podcast where they were talking about Conowingo Dam north of me by a little bit, where they were talking about the flow of Allegheny River. I can't remember. And how it's going to cause a 400-year event here sooner than expected. And it's going to cost like $400 million to deal with in the next 20 years and really interesting stuff. And they were talking about the flow of everything. And they did talk about the Army Corps of Engineers and how they did do a nationwide thing in the last like 20 years of more carefully ongoing monitoring of bodies of water. So yeah, I mean, this is really America, I guess. I don't know. It's cool.
Mark, is that who it is on the MRP? Matt. So he works in the summer at a park, and he does kayak trips. So they use this to make the kayaking experience better for their customers. I guess they would tell, you know, maybe where to put them in and get them out, or you know, I don't know how that affects the kayak trip, but that's how they do use this to do.
There's
it.
A city in North Georgia called Helen, and one of the things that you do there is you ride the tube down the river there, and I'm blanking on the name of the river. And I took my family last year. It was our fall break trip, but it was still warm enough that you could get in the water, and so we all trekked up there. It's about a 2.5-hour drive, and we got there, and the water level was too low. They had closed up all the tubing. So if I hadn't known about this app then, I could have saved us a 3-hour round trip. So, I'll be using this at least for that.
Cool.
So I'm going to share an app. It's actually an app that Dor sent to me, and it's not necessarily one that I have used or one that I will use, but it just makes me happy that it exists in the world, and it's called the Decision Crafting app. And so if you're like me and you just get all kinds of excited about the art and science of making a decision, then decision crafting is for you. Forget plain old fashion pro and con tables. No. You can have multiple attributes associated with a pro or a con, and you can have hard science behind making your decision as to whether or not to have Chinese or pizza for dinner.
Hmm. Do you use this with the guys at lunch?
Yeah. No, with the guys at lunch, this is way overkill for that. With the guys at lunch, I have the decision wheel, and I just spin it and pick something at random. But this is when you really, really want to decide what you between two or more items. It's a hardcore multiple attributes and powers of those attributes. So you can have expense versus time waiting in line versus quality of service you got last time, and how each of those things are important to you based on in this particular decision. And you can slide those faders up and down and then put your two restaurants side by side and let them battle it out in machine intelligence.
Yeah. The only thing this app was missing was something in hindsight I'm not sure I would have really liked, okay, which is the ability to take this, post it, and allow for someone to either put a friend or colleague to put in their 2 cents or to modify weights. So like what you consider to be a heavier weight, like, the service is worth this much in the value rating. And they could say, well, really, because this, and then you could collaborate was the only thing this was missing. I did play with it, and I was genuinely impressed at the only friendly word I can think is the level of analness you could bring to this was outstanding. You could drill as deep as you wanted and literally weigh everything. in any choice you have. Unbelievably flexible and open format. You could literally say, do I want mac and cheese or do I want cheese and mac? And you can have 55 reasons for and against and give them their own individual weight, and then it will calculate out which is your best choice. Just a really, I think, smartly developed app.
But you're talking to a guy who uses a complicated Excel spreadsheet to surface and organize his to-do list. I don't just have a to-do list. My to-do list is intelligent and based on the time between now and the time the task is due and the weighted average and the number of hours expected to it, an algorithm surfaces to the top. And the thing that's at the top is the thing I need to be doing right now. So I'm that anal. And so when you use that word to describe this app, you're speaking my love language.
Well, and I'll say machine learning can go to hell because it has nothing on the Mark Cockrell approach, an actual human looking at this stuff. I'm just saying. And here's how stupid. I'm just saying, here's a quick example of just how stupid, just how ignorant. Because okay, you look up the word ignorant. The definition is basically stupid on purpose. Okay. Mm. This is how ignorant these artificial intelligence machine learning devices are. Every single morning I get in my car, I plug my phone up to my Android Auto, and it automatically wants to navigate me to work. Every single day I hit X, I hit recent, I hit my wife's job, and I say navigate there for almost a year. And it's so stupid, it can't figure out to do that and not try to take me to work in the morning.
Hmm.
So machine learning, artificial AI to me is now, it is still nothing more than a ruse. It's make-believe. It's fictitious. It's a facade. We are not in the middle of any kind of machine learning or AI. We're in the middle of crap and propaganda set by companies trying to sell us ridiculous home devices that, in my opinion, are very overrated.
I'm not gonna disagree with you, Dor. Who am I to disagree with the great door-to-door geek? But my experience has not been the same with, for example, Google Now. Google Now routinely surfaces things that I am interested in, and gives me things like, just the other day, it popped up around lunchtime. It popped up a restaurant that I had been to a couple of weeks ago, but hadn't been back in a while, and said, care about travel time to this place? And I was like, yeah, that sounds really good. Let's go there for lunch. So I think it's just a matter of how much you give it. You're so paranoid, you don't give them much. And I give them everything.
Oh, no, I give them I give them everything, including my wife's everything and my son's everything. There's nothing they don't have. I will say everything I said was completely anecdotal. And it was just one of the things that gets in, like, to quote Peter Griffin, it grinds my gears that and I'm not going to lie. I know I could just go into it and say, redefine my work as my wife's work. And then every morning it would navigate us to the right place. I know I can do that. I don't want to do
that. Well, see, for example, in my Google Now, on Sunday mornings, at about the right time, it'll pop up the donut shop on the way to church. And it says, travel time to here is this, travel time from here to church is this. So it's, you know, maybe I'm just more regular than you are. I do the same thing all the time, but just very different experience.
No. 5 days a week, every day, I first thing in the morning drive from my house to her job. Now, the only difference is we literally pull up, stop for 3 seconds. She gets out. She gets her bag out. I give her a kiss. She walks into the office. I get back in the car.
So it thinks that's just a preferred route. It doesn't know it's a stop.
Sure.
Does it route you that way?
No.
Well, then no.
But and I know it's like I'm seeing the only blemish on what is otherwise a fine looking automobile. It's like I'm dumping the supermodel because that one toe is a little bit longer than her other toe, and it kind of freaks me out. So, and I know that, and I'm acknowledging that publicly, but it just completely drives me bonkers that every day I got to do it. And then when it does that, I'll complain about something else. I really feel like I should be on your show.
Well, you're welcome anytime. Just show up.
I know, but I'm sure Miles. I don't want to take Miles' spot. I didn't say really good.
I'm going to throw anybody off for you.
I know. I said
that. All right. Now we're back to you, Dor.
Okay. Next one I'm going to bring is actually a weird one. This is a weird one that I've literally kept tucked away for well over a week now. And I was debating, do I want to share this to Eric? Do I want to share this to Eric? Do I want to just bring it? And I just decided I'm just going to
bring it.
I do believe there is
legitimacy
to AR. I'm not a VR fan. I'm not an AR fan. I'm just a computer fan kind of thing. But this is the kind of little niche side AR thing that I think could be unbelievably fun or awesome, especially for younger ones to discover and explore. Give them a reason to get out of the freaking house for at least a little bit and go look around. It's called Landmark, and it's LANDMARK. AR virtual based graffiti, unreleased by Mitchell Augustine, Arts and Design E for Everyone. This is a unreleased app, maybe unstable, no cost, no in-app purchase, no ad. Between 100 and 500 installs, updated August 29th, 2017. All it basically is you take your phone out, you load the app, it loads your camera, you can then point it around and see virtual graffiti on things. So it's like nobody can see it unless they pull out their phone and look at the actual AR. It's the kind of thing I'm infatuated with the idea of it, because then you can like secretly transmit messages back and forth, or you know, have like inside baseball secrets.
I love this. This is really the kind of thing that I think could get young minds or immature minds interested in exploring the world. This could be the next Pokemon Go.
Well, and of course, you can create your own graffiti on it.
Yeah.
So quite literally, you have a crush on a girl and you can go by her house, pull out the app, draw on her house, I heart you. And then you can send her a link to the app and say, look at your house in this. And she can get that surprise secret message that wouldn't be creepy at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought it was cool. And this is the kind of AR where I really want to see. More than likely, this is the kind of thing I could see other applications pulling into their own ecosystem, whether it be Instagram or, I don't know, Snap. I feel like John Travolta GIF. Snapchat. People are still using that? What the hell? Why? I don't know. Obviously. I'm like, you know, people still eat Vienna sausages? Why? I don't get it. I don't know. I digress.
I've been known to eat a Vienna sausage every now and then.
Eric,
I did.
You're also the guy that drank beer 30. I love you, Eric.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I found an app that was similar to this. I can't remember what it was called now, but it was similar to this in the fact that it was an AR app, but you had a number of characters you could add into your video and you could resize them and they'd do a little, like one of them was a Spider-Man. You could have a Spider-Man like jump from you to your sister if you were taking a video of yourself and your sister or things like that. Just adding unreal things to your pictures and videos is about, you know, it's going to be a big thing.
Could also be,
so you'll never be able to believe anything that happens.
Could also be useful ever. If you're house searching, take a picture of the house, make a quick note on it for your own use later. You know, that could be a useful use for this thing.
Yeah, and share with your loved one's spouse and say, hey, go look at this house. And you can point at this and say, look, this shingle is falling off the roof.
Mm.
This thing's going to need a new roof sooner than later. So immediately, let's ask for $5,000 off the price of the house.
And then they can send your realtor right over to the same picture, and he can see exactly what you're trying to tell him.
Yeah,
this thing's falling off.
All right, I was going to read another email, but my Chrome is not cooperating. So, hey, Eric, what's your next app?
Well, give me 30 seconds here, and I can share the screen.
Well, I'll do a quick app then, because I don't want to talk too much about this one. You were talking about these AI things. There's an unreleased one called Replica, and basically I installed it, and I started messing with it. Replica Unreleased, R-E-P-L-I-K-A. It just asks you tons of questions about your day and your life, and it just keeps asking and asking and asking, and you level up by the more things you say to it. But in the end, though, the end game of this is not only will it steal all of your information about everything you do, but it will provide you with a bit of a diary or a history to look back on later at some point. You can go back and see how you were or how your days were going and things like that. As the promise when it comes around. It's by Luca Inc.
I did see this, and I'm not going to lie, Eric. I had very mixed feelings about this, because what this is the kind of thing where if you're a isolated, antisocial, depressed younger person, you might get too affected or connected into this thing and spend a little bit too much time speaking to what is essentially a what was the word? You know, your fictional friend, your imaginary friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
To me, that's what I equated this to. This is something where you can basically have an imaginary friend. And
the weird thing too was, being the unreleased app that it is, you got to get in line because it's only by invitation. I was 85,000 in line, but if I text messaged 3 people, I could skip the entire line, get right in.
Well, they might have started at 84,999. So
I gave them an unused Google Voice number. I gave them Google themselves' number, and I gave them my wife's number.
Because you're okay with giving that number out.
Yeah.
Yes.
She does not have a smartphone.
Okay. The very first screenshot was the example of what kind of mildly, at least, gave me the heebie-jeebies. It freaked me out. It says, Replica loves you and cares for you. Anamorphosizing. Yeah,
I felt more Replica is nosy. I wasn't feeling the love as much. I felt uncomfortable answering the questions Replica was asking with that soon, you know, without developing a relationship at all.
It wants to become human. Is that what one of the things said?
I don't know.
And wants to become the most human AI. Okay. That was a little scary there. Replica wants to become human.
But then in wanting to become the most human AI, it should talk and be talked to instead of typing back and forth stuff.
Well, this is the modern version of the Alice Project. You guys remember the Alice Project? It was, I think it was MIT. They created an IRC chatbot, and the idea was to create a learning system by interacting with other people so that you could, you know, it was trying to pass the Turing test, to have a conversation with a computer without knowing that you were conversing with a computer. But back then, I'm talking, I'm so old. I'm talking like 93 here, back before there were graphical browsers. That's how long this was, where you had to constrain the conversation really tightly. It gave you a scenario. You just walked into your first day of your college history classroom. Alice is sitting to your left. Strike up a conversation. Mm. And then, you know, at any point, if you ask a question or told it something it couldn't handle, Alice's response would be, oh, class is starting. I'll talk to you later. This seems to me like the, you know, 2017 version of that same experiment.
That sounds familiar. For some reason, I don't know why I remember that.
Yeah. The only difference is you want to say to her, shh, class is starting.
Stop talking.
Yeah.
All right. I have my email back. It's responding once again. Our good old friend Chuck the Rhino says, well, hello, my fellow Android app addicts. I happened to catch the latest episode of AAA, and it was mostly about Eric's favorite kitchen gadgets, kitchen devices. He had requested our faves, and most of the things that I have are not worth mentioning. The more I thought about it, I was able to come up with 3 items that I really like. The first is not a big deal, but I think it's kind of cool. A flexible cutting board. I can chop stuff and easily put it in a pan. I roll it up and use it like a funnel. The second is called the Samurai Shark Tungsten Carbide Steel Knife Sharpener. It keeps my cheap knives sharp. The last one, Cook's 3-in-1 Sandwich Maker. My father-in-law got a bunch of these on clearance at JCPenney more than 10 years ago and gave them to just about everyone, every family on his Christmas list. It comes with 3 sets of metal plates to make pocket sandwiches, pressed sandwiches, and waffles. I've been using this thing a lot since the last show. I've made burritos, ham and cheese tortilla wraps, grilled sandwiches, and even hot dogs. It's a really nice machine, but not so good as a waffle maker. I have an app reference. I have apps in reference to your Essential Apps program, but that can wait. Thank you so much for your show. It's just wonderful. Peace, the Rhino.
I will say, the 3-in-1 sandwich maker, I'm always infatuated with the idea of those things. You know what I mean? Always. And then whenever I got one of the things that could help either make breakfast sandwiches or panini type sandwiches, I was always at least a little bit underwhelmed. at what it could do.
The breakfast sandwich maker is a good product.
I couldn't afford the 3-in-1 version, but back in the day I had the pocket sandwich maker. It was, you know, it was two triangles, you know, on each slice of bread. Yeah. That thing would make some killer grilled cheese. That's all it was good for, but it was really good at that.
Well, yeah, and I used to put ham
pepperoni
in mine just because. Mm. But the only thing that really worked for me good was a Alton Brown trick, which takes much longer, which is you take bricks, literally bricks, you wrap them in aluminum foil and you stick them in your oven and you let them heat up. And then you take your sandwich and you put it between the bricks and you let the bricks wait, smash it down and flatten it like a panini. And it worked. I mean, technically. Hmm. And I didn't set the house on fire. So, bonus. You know, success.
And the foldable cutting board, that's smart. I never thought about that. That's three gadgets in one. You got the funnel and the colander, I guess, to move your cut up meat into, or cut up pieces of whatever into the pan, and the cutting board itself.
Yeah, I want a flexible cutting board, but I don't know why I don't have one.
Yeah,
there's no good reason is what I'll say.
You'd probably go to the Dollar Tree and get one. They're just basically plastic sheet. You could take, if you have a sled that you've never used, same stuff.
A sled?
Yeah, like the roll-up sled you go sledding with. Like just the thin plastic ones. The best kind. The best sled is one that is very flexible and not rigid at all. Roll-up.
I come from Texas where a sled is an inverted car hood. You take the hood off an old car, you turn it upside down, you drag it behind a pickup truck. That's the only sledding that we do around here.
Yeah, that's kind of, that's a fireplace here.
Yeah, see, you say sled, the only thing that comes to mind is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation and the disc and the wax. Yeah, that's the only thing going through my head.
Hmm.
Not for me, Clark. If I get this part in my, this steel plate in my head dented, we can't part my hair right, never look the same.
Yeah.
Okay, Dor, it's now your turn.
Okay, I'm going to bring a game to the show that I maybe discovered a couple days ago, but I just started playing it like today, and oh my goodness. It struck that right thing in me, is what I'm going to say. If you knew the older games, SimCity, the old SimCity, or the game maybe more appropriately Populous, this game is at least reminiscent of Populous and SimCity, kind of. It's called The Battle of Polytopia. When you load the app on your device, it's just called Polytopia. It's in your P's. It's by Midjwam, AB, Strategy, Everyone 10 and Up. Does have some sort of in-app purchase, which I haven't ran into. Zero ads. Completely free to download. 58,000 reviews, 4.7 average reviews. Updated June 15, 2017, between 1 million and 5 million installs. Current version, Atlantis. The hell does that even mean? I have no idea.
Watery?
I guess, wet. This is a top-down, three-quarters look on the world. Portrait mode only, I believe. It's slightly Minecrafty, blocky looking, but there's definitely a good amount of strategy goes into how you progress. You're dropped on a land. You only see maybe 10% of it when the game starts. You have to explore, expand your culture, knowledge, and science, battle enemies, upgrade, take over towns, upgrade towns, create routes, trading routes, a bunch of different stuff. And each individual game is maybe, if you're really good, probably 20-ish minutes. If you're not good, maybe a half an hour total for each game. Maybe, I'm going to say half an hour, probably less than that. But it was just enough to not destroy me the first time I played the game. Gave me just enough information, so I did just good enough. And then the second and third time I played, I understood a little bit more and understood a little bit more to where I was having some genuine fun discovering and destroying.
So when you played the game and it ended, was that due to a natural disaster that you somehow didn't fend off?
No, the two main modes of the game is, I want to say it's called Perfection and Destroyer, I think is what it's called. Destroyer, your only goal is to take over the other clans. There's a total possibility of, I want to say, 9 different clans that can be in your area, you being one of them. And then Perfection, I think, is the name of the one that I was doing, where basically you have a set number of days. It might only be 30 days, which is 30 turns. So you create a warrior is one of the first things you can create, who can also explore. And you can move him, and when you move him, then you have to, when you're done doing all everything you can do, you have to end turn, which is 1 day. And then the next day, you can move him again, or and also create another warrior. And when you learn archery and riding, you can do other people like that. And then the more villages you take over, the more towns you can take over, the more places you can create more people. And then you learn how to harvest, you learn how to fish, you learn how to whale, you learn how to sail, and conquest is the ultimate.
So this reminds me of an old Westwood game I used to play called Dune, based on the sci-fi book and movie. You could play House Ordos, House Atreides, House Harkonnen, and you would walk around and mine the spice and bring the spice back and build armies and then go attack people. It looked very similar to this. I wasted hundreds of hours playing those campaigns over and over again. So I'm not going to install this because I have more of a life now than I did back then, but my click finger is itchy, I gotta say.
Well, this would be the perfect use case, just saying, not for me, because I'm an efficient fella, but if you would like to take an old, used, worn down Android device and leave it in your lavatory, and then when you need to partake in extended visits to the lavatory, maybe you could partake in this game as well. Just saying. I don't know. But I'm efficient. Yeah, I'm in and out.
I don't spend 20 minutes in there.
Yeah. So when I am at the end of the day, me and my wife carpool. When I leave work, I go to her work. She's a salary employee, which I kind of explained to her, well, that means you technically don't have to work 40 hours. She takes it as the inverse, and she often works more than 40 hours because she's crazy.
That's the way it is.
Salary is an ancient Greek word for abuse. You didn't know that?
Yeah. Right. So I end up sitting in the car waiting for her to come out all kinds of time, sometimes 5 minutes, sometimes 2 hours. And so I have time to do this kind of thing.
All right. Eric, it's that time. Empty your tank.
Okay. I'm coming up first with an app called Reverse Dictionary. This is an app that lets you describe the word you're trying to figure out in a couple different ways, and it'll help you. It tries to help you get the best results. So it sounds like this word, or it means this, and then it's supposed to get to the kind of like playing Jeopardy, I guess, sort of in any way. So you got an actual reverse dictionary, sounds like and spelled like. Rhyming though, no. So if you want to come up with the word door, you can't say the word more. It'll only come up with a bunch of M words somehow.
This is a crossword puzzle player's best friend.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I never found the use case for it yet, but yeah, I think you hit it right on the head.
It's like a thesaurus on steroids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I thought, why didn't they call it thesaurus at first? But then they had the sounds like thing, so I guess, all right.
Yeah, I'll say the first thing that came to my mind was the old show, because I'm old, the $25,000 pyramid.
Yeah.
Because like one of the screenshots says like green fruit, and then it says avocado, cucumber, apple, kiwi, lime, grape, olive, watermelon. And I could see people on that show running
things
through
that are green,
kind of
things that are round.
Exercise.
Things, yeah.
Yeah. And I'll just say, I miss Dick Clark. He was a really entertaining fella.
All right, next up, Eric.
All right, next up is a game called Loner. This is an endless flyer game, I guess I would say it. But this is like a total kind of zen thing where you're flying an airplane basically into the darkness with just a little bit of light, and you use your controls. It's basically like you slide up one side and down the other side in a landscape. Port and landscape mode to like steer left and right, and put both thumbs up to raise your airplane up, or put them both down and go down a little bit. It's got beautiful music in the background. It's supposed to be like some kind of a relaxing type game, but it's like a flight simulator meets meditation, I would say, pretty much.
Are there Is there an objective? Obstacles?
Yes, yes. Into the darkness, there will be these different shapes that you have to fly through without hitting the edges of them. Got it.
So almost kind of like the old pilot wings going through hoops and circles, maybe?
Yeah, I didn't have to do any hoops. It's just like basically you fly. You're not like in a tunnel of it. It's just they come up one after another, and you just have to rotate your vehicle to get through them. It did give me some weird, some very weird, like, I'm here to heal you, and like you are my angel, kind of. I don't know if it was helping me, encouragement. I don't know exactly what they're trying to say.
Maybe
there.
That was your digital buddy, the AI, trying to butt in there.
Yeah, well, I had some crosstalk happening between apps during my flight, maybe. But that's it for my tank for today.
Okay. I'm watching this video now. I'm trying to describe what I'm seeing, and really it's a biplane in the darkness. There's not a lot more I can describe. I guess it's one of those you had to be there.
And Dor would hate this because it does suggest to put the headphones on immediately and at the beginning. Yep. And then the sounds are cool.
It doesn't look difficult. Does it get difficult?
No. I mean, it's like an endless runner. So you only go so far, and it kind of tells you how far you made it. So as you go along, you first start out with like a rectangles you fly through. Then as it goes on, then you start flying through triangles. I mean, I suppose the farther you go, it starts getting a little crazier.
Yeah, but it's a broad winged plane, so there's a lot more surface area. And because it's a prop type plane, you're not maneuverable like a stunt plane would be, kind of thing. So if it takes you a couple seconds to realize the shape that's in front of you, it might be difficult to make the shape because you're not flying really fast. But it is, I'll say, good looking. It looks perfectly fine, but I don't need music to fly, do I?
I never watched the video before, and it's giving it. No, it was not crosstalk. Those are actually those little words of encouragement are showing up on here, along with one that said, "She is so pretty." I'm not. Yeah, I don't know. I agree. I mean, maybe she's beautiful, but
Rhino says I should read the reviews.
If Rhino says so, I agree.
Rob Conacher says, "Nothing but a black screen. Actually thought for a second it was a joke app as I was starting to stare at my reflection in the screen. Loner, it's not true. I have friends. No, I do, honestly. Let me know when you fixed it. I'll rescore."
So I'm with him on that, because when I installed this on my Nexus 5X, that's all I got was a black screen. And honestly, that happened for two different apps on my, and I installed them on my Note 4, and they both installed and played. So there's something going on with Oreo and certain apps not running, just turning to a black screen and that's it.
Nicholas Petrocarlo says, "The English translations in this story aren't perfect and are filled with grammatical errors. This isn't some flashy game filled with ever-increasing challenges. It's more of a test of endurance. It's meant to bring you to a feeling of solitude. The dark atmosphere and melancholy soundtrack help to make you feel truly alone. Headphones are definitely recommended. My only complaints are the mistranslations, and that I'd like the controls to be more sensitive. Solid time killer."
Yeah, I agree with all that.
"Wow, this game is awesome. It teaches us patience, how to have faith in something, and not to lose hope. I just recommended this game to my fellas, but I didn't understand the ending. Did Lona reunite with Alma? Please reply."
I don't know. I didn't get there. I don't know what that means.
Maybe we need Loner 2?
Yeah, the return of Alma.
Okay.
Maybe Alma's some sort of wingwalker that fell off or something.
Alma means soul in about 7 different languages, so I'm going to say that has something to do with it, that it's a loner looking to reunite with his own soul.
Oh, okay. All the wingwalkers I knew were named Alma. That's why.
Okay, how many was that?
Just this one.
All right, Mr. Geek, Mr. Door-to-Door, unload.
Okay, I'll bring a couple real quick. This first one, I'm not even a fan of the app, but it is the kind of app I can see soon enough Google pulling this functionality into the OS, because it does seem like they are very uppity on the idea of split screen mode or multi-windowed mode, which it's not multi-windowed mode, people. Unless, of course, you're talking multi-windows like on the Amiga or something, okay? It is split screen mode. Let's just get that right. This is by Francisco Barrasso. Oh, man. E for Everyone, 81 reviews. It does have in-app purchases. Completely free to download. No ads. 3.9 average reviews. Updated September 6th, 2017, between 1,000 and 5,000 installs. Version 1.3. Okay. What this is, we've all at least seen demonstrations of split screening in Android. Well, there's one colossal failure with it, and that is there's no way to save profiles of split screens. So every time you want to split screen, you basically have to start from scratch, pick your window, split screen, start the other app, and then put it together. This app gives you the ability to have shortcuts on your home screen to specific links. You hit that link once, it will launch both apps and put them in split screen mode. So you can, for instance, always want YouTube opened with a note-taking app. Instead of opening up YouTube, then hitting the other thing, then launching the Note app, then positioning the split in the screen, you just hit one click and it launches both apps and puts them in split screen.
That's cool. To me,
this is a useful idea.
I don't think, it's not that hard to do split screen on the phone. I mean, it's nice because you typically, for me, when I'm using split screen, I had both apps going in my recent apps. I just get tired of going back and forth, so I just hold down the button and make a split screen, and then the other one's right there anyway. I mean, it is still in my recents. I got to pick it, but I can see where they could. This
they really went all out on the 4-second demo video there.
Yeah, that's a sign of an almost great app, though.
That's a sign of confidence.
All you need is 4 seconds.
If it was any better of an app, it would have had no video, but.
Yeah, don't need any intro, don't need any description, don't need any fancy special effects. Just here, look, phone, press, and that's it. Okay, next one I want to bring is complicated, is the only way I can put it. This is called Tick 80, and I honestly am going to plead ignorance. I think Tick is a reference to something. I don't know what.
Tiny computer.
Well, then, shouldn't it be TC? I'm just saying.
Just the I in
or
tiny.
T-Y-C? Tiny computer. I don't know. Should we tick out? I don't know. Let's not go. Tick, TIC-80 by Nestbox, E for Everyone, completely free to download, no apps, 298 reviews, 4.5 average reviews, updated August 29th, 2017, between 10,000 and 50,000 installs, current version 0.40. This is a engine that will allow you to create sprites, create textures, create backgrounds, create layouts, create characters, and create interactions. And it will let you create music too. So it's basically a game generation app. I'm sure you could use it for other things besides games, but that's what it's made for. It has a 16 color palette. 256 8x8 color sprites. So this is definitely meant to emulate older computing environments. The code editor, I will say, is, I don't want to say simple, but it's simple. If you go look up videos on YouTube, you can find a lot of people who created their own levels, their own games, their own sprites, their own animations on the sprites, like swinging a sword or getting killed kind of thing, where they basically put time to this. And I do believe it's a website, too. That's the thing I forgot. We come down, we hit visit developer website. We get redirected to tick.computer. You can learn, create, play. So you don't even need the Android app per se to create it. You can create it all on your phone, copy it down to your, you can do all the creation on your computer, and then play the game on your phone if you would like. And everything from orchestrating and tracking the music is what it's called. It's like a piano roll creator type tool, and make your own game.
I do like how that demonstrated how you do the animation where they're rolling across the different pictures of the guy and he moves as you roll across it. Oh, you get that from the website, not from the app store. I don't know, man. This is like, it'd be great for if you're making games for a smartwatch from 1998.
I take it as a good learning experience. If you want to show someone, how to create games. I think this could be.
Isn't there something like this though with much? I don't know. Seems like there's a newer version of this kind of thing. That yeah, no, I guess this is fundamentals though. Your this is your cornerstone type thing.
Yeah, and if you click a play on TikTok computer, you can right there in the web interface play games right there, or you can hit download and download the cart to your device. They also, of course, have like emulations of Tetris, Sonic, and of course, cool. Custom games.
Okay, yeah. All right.
I just thought this was cool.
No more naysaying. This is cool.
I got it.
It looks like the sixth level hell to me. I could not even imagine trying to create a game on a 5-inch screen.
Well, if you scroll all the way down, if you hit play and scroll all the way down, I see where we're at. The very last game in the play, in the play page.
Okay.
It's a reinvented board game for two players. Hold S for help. By Door. Jolly Jolly. Nice. By JoJo Jolly.
Nice. Well, that's the thing, Mark. If you want to, you can create it on a full desktop computer or laptop and then just download the cartridge to your phone kind of thing. So the phone is really secondary. You can do everything you want on a full desktop computer. Right. I just brought
it's just Java
to tie into the show.
And Java will work anywhere.
I hate Java. I take it back. I take everything back. I'm going to bring one more game, and it's only because it's one of those games I think is just beautiful. It's called Subdivision Infinity, marked T for teen. I'm really not sure why it's marked T for teen, and it does have a video. I'm sorry. By Crescent Moon Games. T for Teen does have in-app purchases, completely free to download, 2,843 reviews, 4.5 average ratings, updated August 31st, 2017, between 10,000 and 50,000 installs, current version 1.0.6304.
This is not what I was expecting. When you said Subdivision Infinity, I thought you meant Aurora, Illinois, but this is really different.
The only way I could describe this game, it's not good because it's the mechanics is almost like the old game Descent or the old,
Star Wars game. First thing
cabinet.
I was thinking of, yeah.
And I do believe there is at least one of the more modern space simulator games, StarCraft maybe has an aspect. This has an aspect of StarCraft in it. It isn't realistic. It's hyper-realistic, but I still think it's gorgeous. I think it looks really smooth, really good. Good space combat, it looks like to me, what's going on. Very artistic.
So it's hard to control the third dimension where you like have to roll down to get to something? Is that the problem?
I'm not going to say it's a problem. I will say it's going to take some getting used to. It's the kind of game where as soon as you pick it up, you'll be able to do at least some piloting very instinctively and easy. And some of it, you're going to have to like contort yourself, or you can look at trying to change the controls. I don't know how your mileage will vary.
So it's on screen controls.
I use the dual stick controls where the one stick is basically up, down, left, and right. And the other one was shooting. And I believe it was also looking. You could look in a different direction.
You're always throttling forward at all times.
You could speed up and slow down if I recall correctly.
It's very Star Wars-ish. Beautiful.
Yeah. I just thought it looked good.
All right. Is that it?
I'm not bringing. Oh man, my son, he's hooked. I love my son. He asked me the other day, he asked me if I knew what I created. And he said, I said, what? And he said, you created a monster. That's what you did.
Ooh.
I accidentally introduced him to this game called Virtual Beggar.
Yeah.
By Treetop Crew. E for Everyone does have some sort of ads, does have in-app purchase. I can't even recall the ads. I believe on one of the screens of there was a lower third ad. 99,848 reviews, completely free to download and install. 4.5 average reviews. Updated August 28th. 2017, between 1 million and 5 million installs, version 3.03. The gist of this game, this is like an endless tapper, is what I call this, because I don't know what else to call it, where you're begging, and you can get power-ups to make a single coin turn into two coins or three or four coins, and you have to basically nonstop beg, but you can get enough money to start businesses have gold sunglasses, have a jet, but the bottom line is when you want money, you still go out and beg. So, yeah, I shouldn't have showed him this, is what I'll say. I really shouldn't have showed this to him.
It looks fun. I mean, it actually looks really fun.
Well, I knew something was wrong when, like, if you picture yourself, a small person hunched over, creepily tapping on the screen like a mentally deranged piano player. And that's what I keep seeing now every day, because he has a bigger phone where it literally can do 10 touches at the same time. So he sits there and just nonstop taps with as many fingers on the phone to beg for as much money as possible. And I'm afraid that he's going to keep playing this for an extended period of time.
So you can have him hook up a capacitive stylus to a turntable of some sort that spins and taps as it goes, see, and then he can go to bed and still be begging.
Mark, I'm terrified to introduce that level of...
You combine the maker aspect, see.
Well, I know, but it's like we all have powers to do things in this world, and I want to steer him towards positive things and not virtually begging things.
Well, introduce him to Fill the Oceans.
I'm not going
to
say no.
I'm still playing that one 4 months later.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. And I'm sure it's still not filled.
Nope. All right. That's it. I'm calling it. That is, I think, 13 apps. That's a lucky number to stop on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 10, 11, 12. All right. 12. And the 13th tab was Larry Bushy's book. So Amazon Prime Video by Amazon, River Stats by 406 Digital, Decision Crafting by Adrian something, Landmark AR-based Virtual Graffiti by Mitchell Augustin, Replica by Luca Inc., Battle of Polytopia by Midjuan AB, Reverse Dictionary by Micah Ceylon, I'm going to go. Loner by Compo Games. Split Screen by Francisco Barroso. Tick 80 by Nestbox Education. Subdivision Infinity by Crescent Moon Games. And Virtual Beggar by Treetop Crew. 12 apps we did you right this week. Now, this is the part of the show where I say, hey guys, any final words of wisdom? What if there was one message? If nobody listened to anything else we had to say and only listened to the next 30 seconds, Eric, what message would you like for them to hear?
Oh, boy, you really put me on the spot, Mark. I'm going to say, I don't know. I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. So we're going to take this time to let Dor build up a little bit to give us his words of wisdom.
The love you make is equal to the love you take. Paul McCartney said it best, just saying.
He said it first, anyway. I will...
Yeah, I could have done some kind of a song lyric. That's a good idea.
I will use my 30 seconds to say patreon.com/androidappaddicts. Make your donation. Make your pledge. Stand up and be heard in support of those who support you. And since nobody else is saying anything, I guess that's my turn to say thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week, because that's it for this episode of the Android App Addicts.
This is Martin from Podnuts Pro. Thank you so much for choosing this podcast to be in your ears right now. Don't forget to support all the other Podnuts shows on the Podnuts Network. And we cannot do this without you. So please, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, email us at podnutspro@podnuts.com.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.